Good evening. That little interludes in between Purim and when Pesach strikes. And the end of Parashat Shmos, Moshe and Aaron come to Paro and they tell him two different things about freeing Klal Yisrael. First they say, Vayomro Paro ko Amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael Shalach es Ami v'yachoygu li b'midbar. Here they use the term Elokei Yisrael. And Paro was not so forthcoming with this idea. He says, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma v'koylo Sus dis Rebbein Shalalim is, I don't know, but interested in knowing. And he asked for a mighty thing. V'gamitz Yisrael lo ha-shalayach. He wanted me to free all my slaves. That's, you know, no matter who's asking me, I'm not likely to listen to that. V'yomru, and then they told him, Elokei Ivrim nikra aleinu. Now, they didn't no longer say Elokei Yisrael. Here they said Elokei Ivrim nikra aleinu. Ne'elchono derech shloishes yamim lamidba, v'nizbucho l'Hashem Elokeinu. And we will go to serve the Rebbeinu Shalom. And then Vayomer Aleihem Melech Yisrael, now he responded, Loma Moshe Ve'aron Tafri Osama Masov. You're disrupting the people from their work. The chulas of Loiseichem, go back to your work. The Shaila is, very simply, if he was upset with the idea, why was he didn't respond that way the first time? And secondly, why the change? First time they told him Elokei Yisrael, and the second time they told him Elokei Ivrim. So the Tziv explains that Paro imagined that there was an elite among the Jewish people. And the elite, they were very pious religious people, they would go off and they would serve God. So that he said he's not ready to do. Even that. Then they told him Elokei Ivrim. Elokei Ivrim implies the simplest people. They're not even worthy of the title Yaakov. The simplest people amongst the Jews. And the Rebbeinu Shalom is called Neil Chonor Derech Shloshes Yomim Amidbar. V'nizbuchol Hashem Elokeinu. That the whole people should go forth. So for the whole people to go forth is altogether Paro couldn't accept. Now you're talking about not the elite. That will be disruptive enough. But now you're talking about a mass exodus. So then Paro went through the roof. And he tells them, Lo mo moishu v'yaron tafriyu esom imasav l'chulisim lo'iseicha. What no one in the world can understand about Klal Yisrael. And that's really the yisoid of the Torah that the Rabbeinu Shalom gave us. People that have a certain religious orientation in the world can understand they're a holy people, they're a pious people. They're not involved in the types of activities that most people are involved in. They're focused upon other things that they can relate to. But that a people as a whole should be at a high level of service of the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, to embrace spirituality at a very significant level, the world cannot relate to such a thing. It's totally beyond their comprehension. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam spoke Elokei Yisrael, that's true. The elite of Klal Yisrael will worship at a very, very high level. But that's not to exclude the avodah of the simplest Jew. And the Tziv writes later in Parshas Va'era that in the four Lashonos of Geula that we talk about are a complete metamorphosis from being a simple person that yesterday was enslaved, distant from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and in a short span of time he's roy to stand, he's worthy of standing at the foot of Har Sinai to receive the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's Torah. It's a phenomenal change. And yet this was the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And what divided, the Netziv tells us, the Jews that went out of Mitzrayim and the ones that are alluded to in the beginning of Parshas B'Shalach that did not, those that wished to embrace the spirituality of Klal Yisrael and embrace the Rabbeinu Shalom, they went forth. And they rose very rapidly. Those that rejected the Rabbeinu Shalom and the spirituality of Klal Yisrael did not merit to leave Mitzrayim. The Mishnah says, in the beginning of the 10th Perek of Sochem, Chazal tell us, Mitalmid HaYesu Mikulam, we learn more sometimes from our students than in any other method of learning. And I'll tell you a kasha that a little boy asked me. He was 8 years old, 10 years old. And he learned the Mishnah at the beginning, the first Mishnah in Arvei Pesachim. And he asked me a phenomenal question. The Mishnah states the following. Arvei Pesachim, Samach Lemincha, in the latter part of the day on Erev Pesach, Lo Yochal Odom, we're not supposed to eat, until it becomes dark, so that we could eat matzah in appropriate fashion. The Mishnah continues, Afilu oni shebi Yisrael, even the poorest among the Jewish people, lo yochal, should not eat the matzah, achiyase, without reclining. Well-known halacha. The little boy asked me the following question. Why do we need the word, Afilu oni shebi Yisrael? Who was the Mishnah talking to? When we say, for example, the very first Mishnah in the Mishnayis, Me'im Masai Koran Eshma Varovin, what is the appropriate time to recite the Kriya Shema? Did Rabbeinu HaKodesh write, Me'im Masai Yisrael Koran Eshma? I mean, we all understand that the Mishnah was not written for the non-Jewish world. It's the guidebook of the Torah Shavuot Peh for Klal Yisrael. So we don't have to write, Me'im Masai Koran Yisrael Shema Varovin. So what was the point that Rabbeinu HaKodesh had to say when it comes to the Heseba on the night of Pesach, Afilu Oni Shebi Yisrael? Who else was he talking to? Umas Oilam? Who was he referring to? Who has a say there? Of course he's talking to Klal Yisrael. So what does the Mishnah tell us, Afilu Oni Shebi Yisrael? A phenomenal question. And I answered him. There's a question altogether in understanding this Mishnah. And that is that who reclined, who had this practice, was a practice of the nobility. So if you tell me that a very wealthy Jew, a nobleman, is supposed to recline, I understand. Well, what's the purpose of the average person reclining? He doesn't live like that ever in his life. It doesn't reflect his lifestyle. So what's the point of his reclining? Why should he recline? So Rabbeinu HaKodesh answered that kasha for us. We have, in the reference to Klal Yisrael, we sometimes refer to as Yisrael, and sometimes refer to as Yaakov. Right? What's the difference between Yaakov and Yisrael? The Al-Sheikh, among others, states, Yaakov are simple Jews. Yisrael are the elite, the Talmidei Chachamim. So what did Rabbeinu HaKodesh tell us? Afilu Oni Shebi Yisrael. Every person in Klal Yisrael, no matter what a station in life is in the realm of Yisrael, has that possibility. And what did the Tanoim tell us? Kol Yisrael b'nei melochem nino. Every member of Klal Yisrael has nobility, because we are the chosen servants of the Rabbeinu Shalom. And therefore, that's the answer. The poorest person in Klal Yisrael, that in his personal life would never think of reclining, but when he considers what he is as a Jew, fits, the shoe fits. And therefore Rabbeinu HaKodesh went out of his way to tell us, he answered our question, why should we recline? Because Kol Yisrael b'nei melochem nino. Pesach speaks to the fact of the spirituality that HaKodesh Baruch Hu was given Klal Yisrael. And the fact that he's given every one of us the means to access that sanctity, that Kedusha Sachayim. That reserved for some special elite. It is the Meirosha, the right, the birthright of every Jew. That's what the Netziv is telling us. What the Rabbeinu Shel Olam called Elokei Ivrim, that the Rabbeinu Shel Olam called for the Ivrim, Ne'elcho Nizbucho Al Hashem Elokeinu. All of us have the potential to achieve that closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I always think that that's really the message of the halachos of Pesach. Pesach is the one time during the year that the tiniest bit of Isra, of chometz, makes a difference. Throughout the whole year, a tiny piece of something non-kosher falls in its bottle, becomes null and void, and we go on eating it. Pesach is the one time in the year that a mashu, the tiniest bit of chometz, falls in on Pesach. We can't eat it. And I always think that the message of this is very simple. That Pesach is the call for a transformation of ourselves. We know in our generation, we've seen what it means that a person is a bal tshuva. A person came from a background that was not religious, and he became from. One of the things that he has to do, he has to kosher his kitchen. His kitchen was not suitable. So everything in the kitchen was treif. The oven was treif, and the stove was treif, and the dishes were treif. Everything was treif. It's the kosher at all. What did the Rabbeinu Shel Olam tell us to do? Comes Pesach, that the whole house is treif. It's all treif. Everything else, the dishes are treif, the silverware is treif. It was all fine. It was glad kosher yesterday. Today it's treif. And if you want to eat here for the next week, in the next 10 days of Pesach, you better kosher the house. All truth. And it's so far from being correct that even the slightest bit of what was here before, the smallest mashal, is also a problem. Because what the Rabbeinu Shel Olam calls upon us to do is to join that ascent, to strive for Elokei Yisrael, for the Oni Shebi Yisrael. That's what the yontif of Pesach is. The realization of the spiritual strength, the spiritual possibilities that exist within every one of us. And that's really a lot of the motivation for a lot of the things in the shir. Scheinberg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, it takes sometimes the giants of the halacha to see what's obvious. The rest of us live sometimes, it's foggy, it's cloudy. But they see clearly. You know, we have to be very, very careful. We can get so consumed with doing things and preparing for Pesach, which we don't need to do, that by the time we come to the Seder and to celebrate Yontif, we are spent. We have no ability even to begin to appreciate what the Chag is. So we have to prepare, not with emotions. Emotion has a place, but first and foremost with our head. To do the things we're supposed to do, and not get involved in the things we're not supposed to do. So we stand the chance of being only a half a shmata instead of a ganze shmata when we come to the Seder, you know. We have, you know, a very strange thing, you know. In my family, my Shvez of Lezayin Gesund, so we're two now, he lives in Eretz Yisrael for many years. But the transformation from a Ben Chutz La'aretz to a Ben Eretz Yisrael came slowly. So in the early years in Eretz Yisrael, he still used to make two storm because he lived a good part of the year in America. So my Israeli brothers-in-law, they never saw a second Seder in their life. So they came and wanted to see what it was about. They came to the second Seder. And they watched the second Seder and they said, you know, if only our first Seder was anything like their second Seder, we'd be in good shape, you know. So, you know, we need Rabbi Yisai to seize the moment. We have to invest in what's important to invest, and not to invest in the wrong things. And for that, we have to follow the halacha. That's the halacha is enough that we have to do, that we don't have to add anything to it that are not necessary. Now, let's start off. We'll start off with the first mitzvah of Pesach. That's the one that's going to consume us for the next couple of weeks, which has to do with the mitzvah of Bedikas Chametz, that we have to remove chametz from our rishus. Why do we have to remove chametz from our rishus? In our situation, really, for one reason. All the chametz is sold anyhow, so there's no way we're going to violate the law of not owning chametz on Pesach. That's not happening. So what do we have to remove the chametz for? We have to remove the chametz because we're concerned that since it's something that we eat the entire year, we may by mistake just wake up having a fog one morning of Pesach and not forget where we are. And if it's around, we'd eat it. Remember, Midoraisa, Pesach has a very simple affair. Right, here's my matzah. The challah that's left over from Erev Yontif is over there, not even in a plastic bag, in the other part of the table. And that's it. I make the seder, I eat the matzah, and that's it. I don't think any of us want to come to such a seder, but with the raisa, that's the seder. It's enough. It's fine. Chometz can't own it. I sold it to a guy. It's not mine. What's the problem? But Chazal were concerned that since we're used to eating chometz the whole year, we're going to come to eat chometz on Pesach too. So they obligated us to lock the chometz up and to get rid of it, not to have it around. So that's the main motivation that we have for Bedikas Chometz, is to make sure that we don't put our hands on some chometz and start eating it without realizing what we're doing. Now, in that light of that, and based on the Gemara in the first parak of Sochem, which says, Pirurim Amele Batli, Pirurim, crumbs are insignificant in their own right. So Rav Moshe Feinstein's Atzal Paskin, that we're not obligated to look for little crumbs. It's not part of the halacha. We're only obligated to be concerned. It doesn't have to be a kezias, but something that's substantial enough that I might pick it up and eat it. That I have to get rid of. But anything smaller than that, if it's that small, that I would never cross my mind to pick it up and eat it, I'm not obligated to do Bedikas Chametz for it. And you've heard me say many times, and I echo it again, and I believe I echo the sentiments of Rav Scheinberg's Zatzal, that if we want to have a spring cleaning day, I declare the National Jewish Spring Cleaning Day is on May 15th. If it's Shabbos, it's a nitcha, you know, to the next day, you know. But that's it. Has nothing to do with Pesach. And just let's celebrate Pesach without getting carried away. You know, we don't need to worry if the rims around the baseboard, if maybe it's a little bit, you know, something slipped in over there, or it's not 1,000% clean. Yeah. Yeah, you know, in commercial kitchens, they have their cleaning schedules where they clean that also. But that's not on the calendar for before Pesach. Before Pesach is to get rid of chametz. That's it. That's the job. Okay, fine. Yeah. So I'll just let him set up the video. So we'll at least have a wall. What? Okay. A little bit confusion. Okay, thank you very much. So we'll start the halachas again. At least the halachas will be on the video. Imagine a boysai if we could come to shul tonight, put up to take out the screen, and put Rabbi Kiva Eiger, I'm sorry for the same shir, and put him up on the screen. Phenomenal, no? See Rabbi Akiva saying shir. No, you sound like you learned the Chofetz Chaim. That's a big problem. Oh, yeah.